Turn your scripture to the prophet Jeremiah chapter 23. Prophet Jeremiah chapter 23. Jerry Renner's father was taken during the early morning to the hospital in very serious shape. Remember him in prayer, continue to remember Bentley and all these others that we're praying for. Those are some of the pressing needs, and certainly continue to remember Deb Lewis, and God's at work. Victory ahead, praise the Lord. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Amen. The only thing I really am not looking forward to in the winter season is the hyper-dramatism about the weather. I would never want anybody to put themselves in danger, harm's path. But we're living in a time when through media and this and that, they can make a flurry. They can turn a flurry into a blizzard. Amen. So certainly use caution. But it's just so good when we get together in the house of the Lord. Appreciate your being here this morning. In fact, in spite of the fact that it's a snowy morning, I just believe God's going to meet with us all day. And I trust they'll have the roads clear for tonight. But we're in the middle of a time of challenge on Sunday night. Our theme is daily. And tonight we're going to talk about daily prayer. And just believe the Lord to speak to us. Amen. Could you stand for the reading of God's word? Knowing God through his names. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. Thank you for standing. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. And you've learned how to read that now, all uppercase. That's Jehovah, or Yahweh, if you please. Saith Jehovah, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. That's a name of God, the Lord our righteousness. In the original is Jehovah Tsidkenu. That's Hebrew, not Japanese, but Jehovah Tsidkenu. We're going to see what God reveals to us today through his name, Jehovah Tsidkenu. Amen. Could you pray with me and for me today? Why don't you just stretch forth your hand? The Lord is in this place. Let's just worship him. Lord, we want to hear of you from your word. Lord, may our hearts be open. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you high and lifted up. See your power and your glory. Oh, God, I just pray there be an eternal moment in our hearts. Hallelujah. Be made real, God. Be made real in the midst of doubt. Be made real in the midst, Lord, of darkness. Be made real in the midst of pain and confusion. Be made real in the midst of boredom and routine, Lord. Be made real in our hearts through the preaching of the word. Anoint me, God. Shut up my heart to the truth. Remove every distraction, I pray, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated if you wish. Jehovah Tsidkenu. You know this, but running research has shown that almost 66% of Americans feel like America is not going in the right direction. This is real current. Last month or so, 65.5 on the wrong track, not the right direction. I know this is simplistic, but could I tell you, when you look at those statistics, something's not right in America because something's not right in America. I said something's not right in America. It's going wrong. Something's not working because something's not right. Something's not moral. Something's not on track with God. Something's not right with America because something's not right. I remember, I don't know how young that I was, but I got on the bicycle at my grandparents' house and I drove down the street to the corner store. back in those days, walked in and got me a Three Musketeer bar. Got back on my bicycle before I took off. I ripped the package down, started pedaling back up the street to my grandparents, took a big old bite of that Three Musketeer. And as soon as that hit my mouth and the taste hit my mouth, my thought was, something's not right. It was the worst taste I'd ever had in my mouth at that point. And I looked down, and that thing was crawling with maggots. Something's not right. Now that I've put your lunch off, I have the liberty to preach a while. How many has been in your automobile, started it up, and it had a funky sound, and you took off, and it had a funky feel to it? How many did you not say these words? Something's not right. Have you ever been around somebody? They're starting to act strange. They're talking strange. And before long, you looked at somebody else and said, something's not right. I hope you're not saying that right now. Something's not right with them. Amen. Something is not right with America. 65 million babies aborted since Roe versus Wade. Amen. Americans will not defund the organization that sells body parts. Instead, they defend it. They heroize transgenderism. They celebrate homosexual marriage. They excise Christ from Christmas. Something's not right with America, because something's not right with America. Let me tell you, let me extend that a little bit. Something's not right with America, because something's not right with humanity. Humanity's twisted. Humanity is skewed. Humanity has gone awry. Humanity is messed up. But could I also tell you, something's not right with humanity, because something's not right with the individual. I said with the individual. Years ago, the London paper was writing a series of editorials called something, or let me back up. It was entitled, "What is Wrong with the World?" Even using a question, the series, "What is Wrong with the World?" The apologist G.K. Chesterton, he wrote a letter to the editor. He entitled it with the title of the series. He said, "What is wrong with the world? I am. Yours truly, G.K. Chesterton." America, it's not right. Humanity's not right. Why? Because individual people are not right. Amen. We may not realize it. We may not think this way. But hear me this morning. When we say something's not right, we are saying that it is not righteous. It is not righteous. Before we proceed any further, we must be reminded, if something's not righteous, it is destructive, it is hurtful. But more than that, we must be reminded, even the world doesn't want to hear it, and most of the church doesn't want to hear it, but we must be reminded that Scripture says that God will judge all unrighteousness. Even Romans chapter 1, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." If there were ever a people that held the truth in unrighteousness, it is Americans of this United States. And the warning is, the prophecy is, God will pour His wrath upon unrighteousness. The reason America is not on the right track is because America is not righteous. That's the thing that's amiss. That's why we have the ruin and the hurt and the perversions and the degradation and the deterioration. America is missing righteousness. But could I tell you, it's even worse than that. It's worse than America not just having righteousness. She's done something else. She has that's called right wrong and wrong right. You can read it in the news every day. You could hear it from the commentator of people. Amen. We're living in a popular society that they call the righteous things. They call them evil. Call them the problem. Call them the trouble and the things that are evil and perverted. They call them right. I'm telling you, we're living in a world of unrighteousness. But I want to stop to tell you, in the midst of all the unrighteousness, I want to tell you something. God can make it right. I said God can make it right. And only God can make it right. And He will if folks will ask Him. I said He will if folks will. Why? Because He is Jehovah Tsekenu. He is Jehovah, our righteousness. Aren't you glad there's some righteousness in the midst of the unrighteousness? Jehovah Tsekenu. Let's look at the setting of the name. The nation of Israel has split into two countries, the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. I'm going to, in just a few sentences, summarize from 2 Samuel through 2 Chronicles. But when those kingdoms divided, Israel and Judah, did you know the northern kingdom, Israel, never once, even once, had a godly king? Not once. Not once. Amen. Did you know in a dictatorship, you have ungodly people because you have an ungodly leader? But in a democracy in which we live, we have an ungodly leader because we have ungodly people. Because they did not have a godly king, they quickly broke every law of God, increasingly becoming more evil. They broke God's laws about idols. They broke God's laws about sexuality. They broke God's laws about worshiping Him. And because of that, Israel soon was taken captive and destroyed and led away into exile. But that southern kingdom, Judah, because it did have a few godly kings, God honored that. And through the godly leader, revival came to Judah. And did you know, because of those godly leaders, that Judah lasted 120 years longer than her sister kingdom, Israel in the north? It wasn't because she was wiser, more politically astute. Those times of revival is what brought the lengthening of the time, the putting off, amen, the setting further into the future, the destruction of Judah. It was those moments of righteousness. Yet Judah increased in her wickedness, continued down that path. After the revivals, Judah would return to her sins. But here's the thing, amen, amen, it was enough. Finally, it was enough. And God said in 2 Kings 23, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and I will cast off the city of Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. God sent the weeping prophet Jeremiah to Judah to tell her she was in her last days, that destruction was coming. Because of her sins, she would be destroyed and taken into captivity, all because of her unrighteousness. Now here's what you got to get. That's why God sent Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was faithful to preach it. He said, listen, Judah, you're going to be destroyed. It's coming. You're going to be ruined because of your unrighteousness. You're going to be taken into captivity. And then he caught his breath and he said, I've got another word from the Lord. Even though you are awfully unrighteous, even though you're going to be judged, even though you're going to be destroyed, God's not through with you. He should be by every right. He should be through with you, but He's not through with you. He's going to send you a deliverer. He's going to send you a branch. He's going to send you a Messiah. And when He gets through, He's going to make you a righteous people. Why? Because He is Jehovah Tsekenu. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Verse 36, he said, in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. He'll bring them back from captivity. He'll give them the anointed one, the Messiah, the Savior. They were not righteous, but he was. And he would make them righteous. And ultimately, read it there, he would not only save their nation, he would save people out of every nation. Oh, how many realizes we're already talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Sitkenu. They had forever failed to be godly and righteous. They had not done the right thing. They did not have the right kind of heart. But listen, the Lord's our, anyone hearing me? The Lord's our righteousness. What Jeremiah said, he is going to give you what you lack. He is going to make you what you're not. He is going to provide what you so desperately need in your soul. He is Jehovah, our righteousness. Let's look at the significance of this name. That Sitkenu means righteousness. But what is righteousness? Did you know that most people today don't have a hint of a clue what righteousness means? Did you know that people today don't know what righteousness means? We have replaced righteousness with a convoluted concept of fairness. People used to ask, is it right? People ask today, is it fair? Right? Right is based on an objective measure. Fair is based on an emotion that is brought on by making a comparison. Oh, where's righteousness? When they got rid of absolutes, when they got rid of the principles of God's word, they got rid of righteousness. Because right is measured by an objective truth, an objective measure. Amen. Judges today, they don't decide what is right based on the rule of law. Judges decide based on personal opinion and personal consensus. Did you know it hasn't been too long in America that even those that did not go to church, they had a concern with which they lived and a concern with which they died. And it was this: am I right with God? When's the last time you heard anybody quandering that? Am I right with God? Amen. Am I right? The question is no longer, am I right? The question is, am I getting my own way? That's the question Americans are asking. Am I getting my own way? Am I having fun? Am I following my heart? I tell you, whatever they have changed the question to, the right question is still, am I right? Am I right with God? Am I right before God? It's a foreign concept, this righteousness, and yet it's the most important word in all of the Old Testament. Most important. Amen. Though that is true, though it's used hundreds of times, righteousness is a word that just one word won't describe. You can't translate that word righteousness with just one word. There's so much to it. The Bible says so much about it. It can mean so many things that we could have a year's series on righteousness. I've already frightened some of you with that word series. Amen. It's so extensive. We could have a year series on righteousness. But how do we condense it all down? Well, let's take the first part of his name, Sitkenu. The first part of his name is Tzedek. Tzedek. It originally meant that which is stiff, that which is straight. The idea is measurement. The idea is a judge looking at the law. Amen. It kind of goes like this. You're working for a carpenter. You bring him a board. He said, that's supposed to be, I told you to cut that, 24 inches. He said, let's see if it is. It's got to be, it needs
needs to be 24 inches. What does he do? He takes out his tape measure. He pulls that measure out along the length of that board, and he reads the measurement. One or two things are going to happen. He's either going to say it's wrong, it's not 24 inches, or he's going to say it's right, it is 24 inches, because he applied the measure to it. What is the word righteousness? It means when the measure has been applied, it has been proved right. It's been proved true. Amen. I don't want to get too far from this, but do you know what the measure is? It's right here. I said it's not public opinion. It's not the latest poll. It's not follow your heart. Here's the measure right here. I'm telling you, righteousness is when the measure can be laid alongside, and what the measure calls for, that's what you have. That's what you are. That was then taken into the courtroom. Amen. A person comes before the judge, and the judge says, now what did you do? And the person said, I did this, or I did that. Then the judge either says, what you did was wrong, or what you did was right. If the judge said what you did was right, that's righteousness. I said, that's righteousness. Do you see why we shouldn't be concerned about what is public opinion, or what do 51% of the people think? Because the only true righteousness is when the judge says, that's right, you're right, you got it right. Even because of that idea of judging, then righteousness became associated with the idea of scales and weights. We don't measure things like this anymore, but for millennium, they measured things on a scale like this. Most of you know how it works. If you wanted 5 pounds of flour, you'd put a 5-pound weight on one side, and you'd put flour on the other, and you only had 5 pounds of flour when that thing balanced with the 5-pound weight. This is the idea of righteousness. It became also known as justice. Because of that, in the ancient world, many civilizations, including our own, but even back before our nation, way back in the Greeks and Romans, they had an idea of justice that they illustrated with a lady blindfolded with a pair of scales. It wasn't her opinion. It was that she weighed things. Even she weighed things. Therefore, righteousness became associated of being put in the balance. And by being put in the balance, you were proved right or you were proved wrong. And thus the idea of justice. Could I tell you that work with blueprints or technical things, in a sense, righteousness is measuring up to the specs. Righteousness is up to the specs. Oh, with all this about measure, could I tell you what and who the ultimate standard of measurement is? The ultimate standard of measurement is God Himself. He is a righteous God. I'm kind of happy about that. I'm tired of hypocrisy, duplicity. I'm tired of the hidden side, the blind. I want to tell you, our God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. He is a righteous God. He is righteous in all His words. He is righteous in all His ways. He is righteous. Could I tell you, the ultimate measure, the ultimate standard is God Himself. Deuteronomy 32, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. Here it is, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Hallelujah. So you see, for every man, for every nation, the question comes down to this. Amen. I know you are, but if you'll stick with me, we're going to be blessed by this thing about the scales. Because the ultimate thing is, when you are weighed in the balances of God's truth, when you are weighed in the balance of God's commandments, when you are weighed in the balance of God's ways, when you are weighed in the balance of God's own character and nature, which is righteous. How do you fare? Do you come out right? How are things with you? Job said, rather than something to be avoided, this is something to desire. Job said in Job 31, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know my integrity. Instead of running from the balance, Job said, put me in the balance. Amen. Now Job recognized something else. He recognized that when a man, when a woman, when a young person is weighed in God's scales, no man, no woman, no child has ever measured up to God's righteousness. Job said, I know that it is of a truth, but how shall man be just or right or righteous with God? I want to bring this together, this idea about the scales. Could I tell you that God demands righteousness? How many will accept that? God demands, right? God demands that we measure up. He demands it. Here's the sad thing, though. Nobody measures up. Nobody. Amen. Is that 5 pounds worth of flour? Put the weight on and see. It either is or it isn't. Put you on one side of the scale, put me on one side of the scale. You drop God's righteousness on the other side. Does it ever measure up? Is it ever right? Is it ever righteous? In himself, the answer is no, no, no. When we're weighed against God's righteousness, we are found lacking. That's why Paul in Romans, quoting the Old Testament, he said, as it is written, read it with me, there is none righteous, no, not one. Put you in the scale, you won't be righteous. Put me in the scale, I won't be righteous. You see, people begin to realize that. And so the Jews begin to change this scale thing a little bit. And then other nations picked up on what the Jews did. They said, now when we're in the scales, hear me this morning, when we're in the scales, we're not weighed against God's righteousness. The way God uses the scales is he puts all our good on one side and all our bad on the other. And if our good outweighs our bad, we go to heaven. We're righteous. But if our bad outweighs our good, we're unrighteous. Do you see how they change that? Do you see how the world today believes the same thing? They've totally erased this thing of the scales. Me on one side, God righteousness on the other, and I don't measure up. And they've changed it to weighing my good against my bad. Listen to me. Listen, I'm not trying to be cruel, and I'm not trying to bring up painful memories. But that's why you can go to a funeral, and you know that guy made no profession of Christ. He never went to church. He never named the name of Christ. He never repented of his sins. And the preacher will get up and emphasize over and over and over. He was so nice. He'd give you the shirt off his back. I want to tell you, as noble as that is, you give the shirt off your own back on one side of the scale, and it's still not heavy enough to outweigh all of the bad about us. How many believes what I'm preaching? In fact, you can give your own shirt. You can put pain ties. You can put going to church. You can do nice things for the neighborhood kids. You can put all of that, baptism. You can put all that on the other side of the scale, and not a bit of it, amen, will outweigh the bad. You see, we don't just do bad things. We are bad things, a bad thing. It's wrong with our heart. It'll never measure up. It's not enough. All our righteousness is never enough. Amen. All our righteousness is flawed. How many knows that? Even our good works are flawed. Somewhere in doing a good thing, we've got the wrong motive. Somewhere in doing the right thing, we got a little bit of pride in it. Even our righteousness is faulted. That's what the prophet Isaiah said. But we are all, come on, as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. Oh, come on, we're getting somewhere. Even I want to tell you, self-righteousness is as bad and insufficient as no righteousness. Because self-righteousness comes not from comparing yourself to God, but self-righteousness comes from comparing yourself to to another. And therefore that Pharisee, he said, I thank my God that I'm not like this publican. I fast, I go to church. That self-righteousness pile it up in the way. Get it as high, heap it up on that side of the way. It'll never outweigh your bad. Amen. Paul realized this. Paul realized that the only righteousness that's going to measure up is the righteousness of God himself. Look what he says in Philippians. He said, I want to be found in him. Here it is. Not having, someone help me out. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hey, we're getting somewhere now. It's his right. Therefore, here in Jeremiah, the wonderful message is he has revealed himself as Jehovah said, Canu, my righteousness will not do, only his righteousness. But he's looked at me and he said, I am the Lord, your righteousness, and the Lord, your righteousness, and the Lord, your righteousness. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. You see, let's bring that together. Not only have I not done right, I can't even make things right. How do you make adultery right? I mean, you can say you're sorry. How do you make it right? How do you make murder right? You can say you're sorry. You can cry too. How are you going to make murder right? Assassinate a person's reputation with your gossip. How do you ever make that right? On and on I could go, but not only have I not done right, I can't make things right. Not only can I not make things right, I can't be right. I can have an outward appearance, but my mind still don't think right. I still don't feel right about things. I still don't obey right, will right. But here's the message of Jehovah Sitkanu. God provides the righteousness that I lack. I said, God provides the righteousness he demands, but I lack. Oh, I said, God provides the righteousness that I lack. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus became a human, died in our place that we could be forgiven of our unrighteousness. Look what Paul says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Sin, that we might be made the righteousness. Oh, I said, he's Jehovah Sitkanu. He provides the righteousness. How did he provide it? He sent his son Jesus to be the substitutionary sacrifice to take our place. He died for our unrighteousness so we could have his righteousness. But no, he died for our unrighteousness. He rose again to make us righteous. Many scriptures, but just one. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. Who of God is made unto us wisdom. Jesus is also made unto us righteousness. Now let's see how it works. How many's ready? I've preached all that to preach this. We got the scales. We got them again. Amen. On one side of the scales, put you, put me, put our unrighteousness. On the other side of the scales this time, put Jesus' righteousness that he died to provide. What's going to happen now? Oh, hallelujah. How many believes his righteousness is sufficient? God accepts his righteousness. God is the judge. God is the one with the scales. God is the one that does the weighing and finds us lacking. But God is also the righteousness upon the scale. Oh, could I preach something this morning? On this side is all my sin, all my wickedness, all my bad thoughts, all your lust, all the things you've done wrong to your neighbor, all the evil things of your past. Oh, it's weighing down heavily. But could I tell you, one drop of Jesus' blood outweighs all of our unrighteousness, because he is Jehovah Sitkanu. He is our, oh, would you thank him for his blood? Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Not only does He make us righteous, He declares us righteous. Since He is righteous, He overflows with righteousness. He speaks righteousness. Everything He touches becomes righteous. He is Jehovah Sit Kenu. Amen. To give us righteousness, He gave us Himself to make us righteous. He made us like Himself. Somebody's going to have to help me. Oh, hallelujah. That's why on an old worship course that seems just to be another course, there's the most profound of lines. Amen. He is all my righteousness. Come on. I stand complete in Him. Listen to what you're singing. He is all my righteousness. What? Listen to what we're singing. He is all my righteousness. Oh, I stand complete. What am I going to do? All my unrighteousness, all my sin, but He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him. He is. I stand complete. Oh, come on, church, sing it. Hallelujah. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Christ. He is Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. Amen. Music can go ahead and begin to come. I want to end with what we're going to take away, the sermon from this name. I want to tell you, first of all, only the unrighteous can be made righteous. Jesus said, I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the unrighteous. As long as I feel like I'm right, I'm righteous, I can't be made righteous. Brother Quesada, only the unrighteous can be made righteous. Amen. Secondly, let's take away with us, only God can make us righteous. But we must come to Him and allow Him. Have you ever seen a doctor, maybe you knew him to be a doctor in the mall or at the grocery store. Have you ever seen him just looking down the aisles and all of a sudden just run and dive on somebody and hold them down and say, I'm gonna treat you. You got something wrong with you and I'm gonna help you. Has anyone ever seen a doctor do that? Has your doctor ever just chased you down and showed up at work and said, you got something wrong with you, and I'm here. No. How's it work? You go to Him. You say, Doctor, I got a problem. Only God can make us righteous, but we must come to Him, and we must allow Him. Let's take with us today that we must desire not only to have His righteousness, but to live His righteousness. Used to be a desire of folks to be righteous. You almost never hear of it in the world or in the church, the desire to be righteous. People seek for wealth. People seek for power. People seek for knowledge. People seek for pleasure, notoriety. But who seeks for righteousness? And yet I hear the words of Jesus, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after. What does that mean? I thought we were made righteous by God. We are. But what it's saying is, if we're really grateful that we have His righteousness, we will seek to be and to live His righteousness in all of our lives. Let's take that home with us. And then let's take home that righteousness is most often revealed in our relationship with other people. Whether we're righteous or not is revealed in our... I'm not going to open a sermon. It would be a series. But when we talk about holiness, we're talking about a vertical relationship. But when we talk about righteousness, we're talking about a horizontal relationship. We're right in our relationships with others. And it's a given thing. This relationship right here, it's no better than this relationship right here. Oh, I'm thankful for His righteousness. I want it to be in all my life and all my thinking and all my feeling and all my dealing, all my willing. Righteous. Stories used to be favorites. They're rarely even looked at anymore. Oh, Belshazzar. It wasn't enough to have a lewd party with every type of sin and drunkenness. It wasn't enough just to have his party. He had to go get the vessels that had been taken from the time we were talking about today. Take those vessels from the temple and use them as the goblets for his drinking and carousing. In the middle of that party, the semblance of a man's hand began to write on the wall. Mene, mene, tikal, upharsin. Called in all the wise men, all the astrologers, the divination, all the experts, government experts. They couldn't translate it. But there's an old man, Daniel. They called him in. He said, you're not going to like what you hear. But he said, what God just wrote on that wall was mene. Your kingdom's been divided. And here it is. Tikal, you have been weighed in the balances and been found wanting. That's not just a dusty story. And it was true for Belshazzar. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I know you know this. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I want to tell you. God still holds the scales. God still weighs. Did you know He's weighing this world right now? It's found wanting. He's weighing a nation called America right now. It's found wanting. He's weighing churches. Found wanting. He's weighing folks. Found wanting. Oh, if we leave here this morning, let us realize we need Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, my righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Would you stand across the building? Hallelujah. A lot of folks are found wanting. But listen to me. If you're here and you're trusting Christ for the washing and the forgiveness of all your sins, you're not trusting in your own self, your own ability, your own power, your own goodness, you will not be found wanting because He is your righteousness. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and Word. Does it have new meaning this morning? Does it have new meaning? All my sin, one drop of His blood. Oh, thank you, Lord. All my righteousness. Why stand complete in Him and worship Christ the Lord? Worship Him, Christ. Since we've been made righteous, let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name, and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name, and worship. worship you. Oh, I feel like worshiping you, Lord. Let us lift up holy hands. Oh, you're righteous, Lord. You're righteous in all your ways. You're holy in all your ways, oh God. I can never measure up. But oh God, you've given me your righteousness. You've given me the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I thank you for it, Lord. You may leave here and you say, I can't even say that name of God, Jehovah Tsidkenu. But you can leave here knowing this. What he said was, I am the Lord, your righteousness. And if you can't say Jehovah Tsidkenu, you can't say Jesus. Because Jesus is our Jehovah's Tsidkenu. He is our righteousness. If you'd like to come and thank him, would you fill these altars? Amen. I want your righteousness, God. I want it through and through. I want nothing in my life left but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Oh, I stand complete in you. I want it throughout all my life, all my living. Oh, you are the righteous one. You are the righteous one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, you make me righteous. He didn't see the things you've done. He doesn't see your past if you're in Christ. He sees his righteousness. Think about it. He's all my righteousness. Wherever I was unrighteous, he was righteous in my life.
He is all my righteousness. Stand complete in him and worship Christ, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let us worship Christ.
Do you hear him speaking to you? I am the Lord, your righteousness. Satan would like to point out your past, your unrighteousness, your failings, your faults, where you don't measure up, where you fall short, because there's none righteous, no, not one. Oh, but if you listen, he's saying to you, I am the Lord, your righteousness. I am, oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad to be saved this morning? Aren't you excited? Oh, we could never, ever, ever, ever measure up. But the Lord is our righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Let us worship Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness.
All my righteousness.
I stand complete in him.
Complete.
And worship.
That's why I worship him. That's why I thank him in these altars. It's in him. It is him.